Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are going to dive into the basket page and looking at all the things you need to do to make sure you actually get the order. So let's get started. Hi, Ian. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Very good. How are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah. Yeah, getting a bit more warm over here in New Zealand, and I presume that we're stealing the sun back off you.
It's pretty wet, dark. Yeah. Not quite, coming out of work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, pitch black.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
I remember working in Scotland and never seeing the daylight. That was a first. Anyway, today we are going to, well, we kind of, a couple of weeks ago, we did the product page, and then we went to the product page checklist, I believe. And then we, now it makes sense to kind of go and do the basket page. So we've obviously moving, I think it was one of the earlier podcasts where we alluded to the metaphor of starting, you know, with the river. If you've got some rapids and if you wanted more water to get down, you'd undam the top of the river first before you undam the lower part, because obviously if you undam the top, then it's going to change the flow of the river by the time it gets down to the basket page. So I wouldn't jump into the basket page optimization until you'd optimize your product page, you'd optimize your bounce rates, you optimize your offers, all that jazz. So, you know, the basket page is something that we get involved in a little bit later, and certainly even later.
Which comes after the add to basket.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? And so just to put into context of where it is, conversion rate, we split it down to three things: add to basket, basket to checkout, checkout to order. And often you'll find, like you say, you know, there's no point optimizing the checkout if no one's in it.
No
point optimizing the basket page if no one's in adding to basket.
Yeah.
So, you know, you focus on getting as many people to add to basket, and then you focus on getting people to basket checkout. But what you find in certain businesses, people tend to use the basket as a dumping ground, saving things for later. Mm. You know, they don't use the wish list like we want them to. They start to add things to the basket and then use that to then eliminate things and to come back over time.
And it's also worth talking about the flow as well, how, because I think, you know, what happens when someone adds to the basket? Does it come up as a little pop-up on the side, or does nothing happen? Yeah. A little, like, one get put into the basket icon top right? You know, what happens when people add to the basket is actually quite important. And again,
yeah, do you take people straight to the basket? You know, and generally speaking, you'd say that if you've got an average, if people are only buying one thing, then you take them straight to the basket. But if you're buying, on average, 1.5 products per order is the average stat across the board. So if you've got more than 1.5 products per order, then you'd consider that you've actually got a higher number of items per order. So that's where you'd probably do some upselling, some cross-selling, and try and keep them on the product page potentially, or even let them do a quick buy from the category.
I think a lot of the more modern themes on Shopify that you get out off the shelf, they kind of cut out the basket page altogether. They kind of do it as a side thing on the right, which is okay probably if you in certain cases, but basically if you want to ever do any upselling, it's just not a big enough space to do that on, you know, if you've got a proper basket page, you've got a lot more real estate.
Well, I also think you've got to challenge the fact that, you know, the notion traditionally with e-commerce, you know, experts is that you want to keep it a really fast, quick basket checkout process. You know, that a three-step checkout is better than a four-step, and that a quick mini basket drop down or slide in is better because it's faster. And if you think about the fact that on average, people only buy from a website 1.5 times a year, If you're lucky, you'll get them to buy twice a year. But on average, most of them are only buying once a year from you. And so you think that they're coming on once a year and you want to make it this like really quick step where you're cutting out key stages that the buyer goes through, making that emotional decision. You know, what's the primary reason why people leave things in the basket? Is it a technical thing? Is it like, you know, an upsell thing? Is it because, you know, we've got payment methods there, or is it because, you know, we're not showing how much the delivery costs? No, the primary reason people leave things in the basket and don't go any further is because they're just not sure if they want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a massive, massive decision. So you've got to take them to that basket page, because you need to make the most of that emotional state that they're in, and you've got to convince them to buy. And the main reason, I think there's only two ways you get people to buy now rather than later, is give them the element of urgency and the element of scarcity. So that's where you'd say urgency would be, hey, there's an offer on, don't miss out, come back next week, the offer's not going to be here, so you better buy it now.
Mm.
And the element of scarcity is, there's low stock here, only a few remaining, don't miss out, come back next week, not going to be here.
Mm.
And that's what you do in a physical store, isn't it? If someone has bothered to go and pick something up off the shelf, put it in their basket, so they've added the basket, and they're then deliberating on...
Well, then you know, in a physical store, you'd see it. What would you say? That's the last pair of those jeans in my size.
Yeah.
So basically, I need to buy them now if I want them, because... You know,
there's an incentive to buy them today, because there's a 30% off sale.
Yeah.
Ends tomorrow.
And so it's like a long weekend sale. Everybody knows the long weekend when the long weekend ends, and therefore it's this weekend when it's going to be. You've got to do it.
And that's what you'd say to them if you're in a physical store. So it's so obvious that, so many times on an e-commerce site now, Shopify, Magento, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, it seems to be that the basket page seems to be just this very stripped back, functional only page where there's nothing around urgency and scarcity and the anxiety and the emotions people go. It's literally subtotal quantity. You know, if you're lucky, people sometimes add a couple of payment logos on there.
You know,
that's it. But it's such a powerful, so much importance there that, you know, you'll find that if you could see how much money you were losing.
If you think about the basket to order checkout, so if you take it like back, if someone who has added something to the basket, someone that actually orders, you know, a good stat is about 45%. So the majority of people, 55% of people, aren't going to buy. And if they all end up on the basket page, then obviously that's a huge area where you can convince people to keep going and buying. So, you know, it's a really important page.
Just say that stat again, Mark, because I think that's a really important stat.
Basket to order. So people who, out of the people that add something to the basket, those that actually end up transacting, they're usually about 35% of people that add something to the basket. Like that's kind of on the low end. And then we'll see it tend to be up to about 45-50%. It can be up, that's kind of where
So you've combined two stats there. So you've basically said that when they add something to the basket, on average 40% go ahead and ultimately place the order. If you put it another way, the stat is how many people go from basket into checkout is normally is about 55%. So just over half the people who go into the basket should actually go into the checkout.
Yeah.
And then when they're in the checkout, about 85% should ultimately go and place their order.
Yeah.
Because obviously drop-off.
There might be a bit of confusion, because I tend to say add to basket, basket to order. And Ian tends to say add to basket, basket to checkout, checkout to order. And the reason for that is because Ian...
I'm more thorough and much more accurate.
Because... You run the side of the business that does a lot more of the enterprise stuff. So they're doing 10 million plus, and therefore you get a lot more nuanced. I'm involved with a lot more of the startups, and therefore we don't break it down until we're doing it like, you know, 800,000 a month, a year. So that's...
But also,
it just shows that there's a problem there.
Well, yeah, you're probably right, because ultimately, if your basket to order rate is low, so we're saying, hey, it's 40% on average, if it's, say, 20%, the issue is always the basket page. It's not the checkout.
Mm.
It's always the basket. And the only time the checkout often is at fault, you think, oh, my God, my checkout to order stat's really low. You know, it's 60%, and Ian and Mark are saying it should be 85%, is often because you're taking people to the checkout too early. Because you're bypassing the basket pages completely. And we see that load on Shopify, where they're taking people straight to the checkout. I mean, actually on Magento too, as default, in the mini drop-down, mini basket, it's got the checkout, proceed to checkout button in the mini basket. And underneath it is a little tiny link that says view basket. Whereas the main button says take me to the checkout. And that's the standard default implementation of Magento. Yeah.
Well, imagine a physical store. If you're in the supermarket and you get your big trolley, you walk in, you put your oranges in, and then it rushes you to the checkout. You go, I don't want to buy my oranges yet. I need to buy some other stuff.
You need to, exactly. People use the basket. It's a very, very important dumping ground for you when you're making these decisions. And you know, you might, if you're buying anything like fashion, or you know, you might buy one or two, you might add three or four different things to the basket, and then you start to eliminate them. That's what happens when you're in a shopping experience, isn't it? You're in a clothes shop, you know, you're picking up different things, you're trying them on, putting back. You start to then decide, you know, you don't buy the first thing. So to try to rush people through to the checkout is an awful experience, because what happens when you click on the checkout button, or the big bloody button, it takes you this daunting form that's asking you to fill in loads of information, fields. Oh, God, no way.
You know, so let's go through I'm not sure if it's in the book, but it's something we've developed.
There's definitely,
I think I actually got the product,
basket checklist
from the book. So let's go through the first one. So the first one is proceed to checkout below the fold. Even if people have a lot in the basket, don't let the proceed to checkout button get pushed down below the fold. Ideally have it both at the top and the bottom. So, If you go and look at your store on a mobile device and you go to the basket page, let's say you're actually getting people to the basket page, can you see the proceed to checkout button on the screen, or do you have to scroll for it? Because if you have to scroll for it, it's for whatever reason, whatever makes it more difficult, people don't click on it as much. So sometimes we can't get the proceed to checkout button, the one that's kind of underneath the products, like above the fold. So we actually just put one at the top as well, so we end up having two buttons. And we also need to make sure that the color is something that's kind of stands out as a move forward button, and not have the same color as all the other buttons, like the update cart and continue shopping and all those kind of stuff. It needs to be like the same color.
That sounds like a really stupid, obvious thing, but if you think about the principle of don't let them think, what's the book forgotten? Don't let them think, just let them click.
Yeah, I don't know, but we always, someone did a good analogy of like, you've got to be able to check out when they're drunk. So, you know, it's like when you're an airline and there's emergency, they have like lines of lights that you follow all of a certain color. And it's like when you've got a limited cognitive ability because your kids are screaming at you and you're trying to get the cooking done and you're trying to order a new hat. It's basically what you don't want to have to think about it. It's just
got to be, bang, click, 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 click. Oh. Bought it. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that was the first one. The second one is payment icons such as MasterCard, Visa. These companies spend millions, if not billions, a year associating these logos with trust in the minds of the consumer. So make sure you leverage this by showing them above the fold. So obviously payment icons are very important. A lot of people tend to put them on the basket page below the fold. I mean, my wife's a hypnotist and she talks about anchoring a lot of the time. And these logos are anchored not only with trust, but also with actually transacting. And then as soon as people see those logos, they're much more likely to actually reach out and buy. So putting those above the fold is obviously also good. And obviously other payment methods that you use, like Apple Pay and things like that, making it easy to click on those above the fold, especially on the mobile device, is going to help. Anything to add in?
Yeah, no. Well, I'm just actually looking at a case study where we did we did a design recently for a basket, and I've drawn arrows all over it. I've got it open now, and I was looking at the reassurances. I mean, I think the key thing to remember here is that people have not yet made up their mind to buy. So we're in the basket page, the variety basket. Then we cannot consider the sale is made. It isn't. We have to convince them. They're still anxious. They're still worried. Mm. You know, we still got to agitate the pain points, or we've got to promote the desirability.
Mm.
You know, so
well,
so,
and we've one got thing we go through proof. In the online course and the mastermind group is one of the phase one things is actually uncovering the anxiety, the key anxiety that people have when buying that type of product. And we use a technique of, you know, looking at Amazon reviews and all that kind of stuff and bringing it in. And that then sorts out that key anxiety. And once you know that key anxiety, say for selling hats, you know, whatever the key anxiety would be for hats, you don't just need to do all the checklist stuff on the basket for hats, but you'd also need to kind of reinforce the anxiety killer on the basket page. So for example, a lot of clothing sites, the anxiety is always size and fit. So if that's what they're worried about the most, you know, when we go to the basket, you very rarely see any messaging that kind of reassures them about that it's going to fit. So, but obviously you want to do that. You want to have a mechanism that reduces the anxiety for fit. You know, then you would have the returns policy and how easy it is to returns and all that kind of stuff. So if once you know the key anxiety, you need to actually make sure you're reducing that anxiety in your basket.
Otherwise, so clear.
You're doing nothing.
Well, I know. And you know, if you really understand that job to be done, it becomes so obvious what your messaging should be and how you should lay out the page and what you need to say. Just like, you know, if you could physically speak to somebody, you know, they've got two or three of your products in their hand and then you can see they're not sure whether or not you'd buy. What would you say to them to convince them? You say, look, I don't, you know, listen, go and try them on at home. You know, if you don't like them, bring them back. You know, no questions asked. Absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you do buy today, you know, I'll give you 20 quid worth of loyalty points so you can come back and you can spend it again. You know, you'd really look after them. It's such an important stage, and that the basket page is one of the most overlooked pages of any e-commerce site. It's almost laughably bad.
Mm.
You know, it's a real hidden gem, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you get it right, because you know what they've got. It's like they're looking at. You know they want to buy. You can see what they want. You know if they're a new customer or not. You know, so you can, you know, and obviously you need to agitate the offer. You need to give them reason to buy. Now, ultimately, you've got to add scarcity and urgency, and you've got to get rid of the anxieties through understanding the job to be done.
Simple. The third checklist one is use wording like continue securely rather than proceed to checkout. That was a split test we did a long time ago, and it was the best wording we found was continue securely on the proceed to checkout button. So a lot of people who've got the book, at the beginning of the book there's that little link that takes you to the split test recording. So if you haven't watched that and you've got the book, just click on that link and grab that split test, because there's a lot of split tests in there, and some of them are around the basket page as well. So it's just quite good to see those visually. But continue securely was the best one. I think we tried it in capital case. So continue at a capital C and a capital S on securely.
Yeah.
So that seemed to be a well. And that kind of suggested that security is an important thing. So making sure people can realize that it's secure, and also going for the super duper SSL certificate as well. You know, what's the better one, Ben? Ian? Ben's my son. Calling everybody by pet names.
Well, yeah, the extended validation one with the big green bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just like it does make a difference. It does make a difference. Security. Once people get to that point, even if they don't think that they're used to buying online, they're still thinking: is this a legitimate site? Is this going to be, you know, am I going to get hacked? Because once burned, twice shy. Number four.
There's so many. Yeah, there's so much publicity. It's happening so much at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people have certainly become a lot more aware of it now. I mean, it just, you know, it will be one of the anxieties people have, you know, some people more than others. So it makes sense to just give them the reassurance.
Number 4, make sure that the basket is nicely laid out and does not look complicated. Remember, perceived ease of use is pretty much equal to actual ease of use. Don't overcomplicate it and get a usability designer to design your basket. So all I'm saying there is that we've done a lot of studies on perceived ease of use and then actual ease of use. So if they think it's going to be easy to use, they'll find it easy to use. So if you look at your checkout, your basket, and it's got so many elements and it's just flashing and it's all over the place, it's not kind of
nicely designed. I did recently, I was involved in a major redesign of a big e-commerce site's basket. And we must have done 20 little revisions of the basket because in order to put the key points in there without making it look cluttered is a real art. And eventually I think we've got it bang on. I mean, we studied Argos's, Homebase's, AO.com, Pretty Little Thing, Misguided, John Lewis's.
You can do a lot with different colours, can't you? Different colours and different fonts, and it makes it feel uncluttered if you get a good designer's eye.
I think we cracked it. You know, and actually, you know, it'll be going live soon, and I think it's great. And we looked at, you know, where people's thumbs were on the mobile desktop, and the fact that they're at the bottom, you know, so you make that sticky. You make the procedure checkout continue securely. Sticky at the bottom where your thumb is for mobile, because that's where your thumb is, so it makes sense. You know, you make that float down at the bottom, and on a desktop you want it to be sticky at the top. So we went through all of this stuff, and it took months.
Well, I think once it's live, tell us what it is, and then we can just go and use it as a case study.
If the conversion rate, we'll do a split test, and obviously the conversion rate works, we'll tell you. But if not, we'll just hide it, not talk about it again.
Okay, number 5, don't make your product images too small. People need to maintain the desire for the product they are buying, and making them too small means that they might lose their interest. Desire for the product must be bigger than the pain for paying for it. So that's especially if you're selling aspirational products. In the basket, you need to make sure that people can still see what they're buying, because they're emotionally tied to the product, and that's what they want. And then, you know, you're basically saying, we want money for the product. And they're like, I don't want to give you my money. I don't just want the product. But as soon as they see the product, they go, ooh, product. I want it. So just make sure that it's big enough for them to still desire the product. And that's the same for the checkout. You want to basically make sure you have the pictures of the images of the product on the checkout too. Number 6. Have a clear color to proceed to checkout, but make sure this is a color that's not used anywhere else in design, so it stands out. Also, it should be the same color as the move forward buttons on the store. So add to basket, proceed to checkout, confirm to order. So that's what we talked a little bit about before. Basically, the add to basket, the proceed to checkout, and the move forward through the checkout, you know, buttons should all be the same color. So it's very easy to see that that's what you've got to do next. So by the time they actually get to the confirm order button, they're so used to clicking on that green or blue button that's the move forward button, they just do it because it's like, oh, done it, and then they've bought it, and you've never had that cognitive system 2 level thinking where they've had to go, hang on a minute, will this suit my blue dress that I wore to the other wedding? You know, that you just want to get it through before they, because everybody can think overthink things. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Number 7. Delivery should be clearly displayed how long it will take and how much it will be. Preferably, delivery will be free or free over a certain amount. If they've qualified for free delivery, shout about it and make it dynamic when the threshold is reached. So, you know, that seems so obvious, but so many people I still see in the basket page are not telling people how much shipping is. You know, like, even Magento sites and Shopify sites, Shopify annoyingly has like this message that says shipping will be calculated at checkout. And it's like, don't do that, because that's annoying, because you want to simplify your delivery charge to say it's £3.95 or free over £50. You want people want to know how much shipping is, And if they don't, you don't tell them, they won't move forward. So you want to be telling them how much shipping is on the product page, how much shipping is on the basket page, and how fast it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are leaving the fact that you're not going to tell people what the shipping is until checkout, you'll get a load of people who just can't be bothered to see whether or not it's worth them getting going that far. And therefore, it's annoying, isn't it? And I think a lot of times when people go, well, I can't put it on the basket page because, you know, I don't know how heavy it is and what weight it is, and it might be for this, for this much, and where they are. And it's like, well, yes, I understand that, but that's a bit like an accountant doing cost plus pricing. You've got to think of your delivery policy and your returns policy as a marketing policy, as a marketing cost, you know, because basically you can, if you simplify it, it can become a very powerful marketing message. If you make it very, very complicated and try to make money on every sale, even like someone that lives in some crazy place, then you're going to run into problems, and you're going to put a lot more friction there. So, you know, obviously you do need to charge more for certain areas, but you need to turn that into a message that actually makes sense for people, and it's easy to do. So, number eight, if you have a free delivery threshold and the person has not hit that level yet, tell them exactly how much more they need to spend to hit free delivery. So, you know, either spend £5.50 more to qualify for free delivery. So, that, you know, what I actually see a lot of the time is someone might have added something to the basket for £90. The free delivery is £50. And for a start, that product doesn't say this product is free delivery on the product page. And it doesn't say that in the checkout because it's just not dynamic. And obviously, as soon as someone's qualified for free delivery, you need to shout about it and make sure that people know that it's free delivery. And perhaps if they're buying something over a certain amount, maybe you've qualified for free delivery and next day shipping or something like that. You know, there might be products we used to make so much money on that you want people to kind of buy that product more than anything. And if they've added that to the basket, you go, you've qualified for this super duper delivery. You there, Ian?
Yeah, I'm listening.
God. Thought you were just going to sleep.
I'm listening. I was just looking at a particular basket flow, looking at the sweetie page, and how you can actually use the basket to increase the average order value too, which is an obvious one as well.
Number nine, make your return policy clear. People will be asking, what if I don't like the site? Don't hide your return policy in the footer of the site. To return policy should be a good policy and it should be a selling point. So what I'm saying there is, you know, like a 30-day no hassles returns or 30 days no quibbles free returns or something that has become a sales policy for the site. I mean, Ian and I are launching a site shortly which is going to have a returns policy of 365-day returns policy. So, you know, it's important to state that there. A lot of people don't state the return policy on the basket page.
We've mentioned this on the product page, and it was like, well, yeah, but that's hidden within a tab right at the bottom in amongst, you know, 300 words of text.
Well, it was,
you know, that is not,
there was that
in the right place.
Company selling, they were selling kitchen tables for like £1,500, and the return, you know, obviously if you're buying something like that, you're thinking, God, that, what happens if this doesn't fit or can't get it through the door or whatever. And the returns policy was hidden inside the terms and conditions, inside the print, like halfway down. And like, even when you read it, it didn't make any sense. And it's like,
But actually the returns policy, I think, was like really good. It was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like such an incredible white glove service thing. That's a huge USP. You know, so we would always consider those things like that are all marketing costs. They're not product costs, you know, because you've got to do your market square test. And it may be that your returns policy is the key thing that people worry about, that you can use as your killer blow to kill the competition.
Yeah. Number one.
And the shopping page is the key page. The shopping basket is where they become really anxious about stuff like that. You know, you know what product they want. You've gone through the pain of getting them to find the right product and the product dead end pages and bounce rate and all the things that we talk about. And now they've added it to basket and they're like, they're looking for reasons not to buy or looking for reasons to convince them to buy.
Yeah.
And the returns policy is a key one. You know, they're looking, oh, it's fine. Like I said, they don't like it, send it back. It's fine. Free, you know, free returns. Oh, okay. Fine.
Yeah. Number 10. If people use a lot of coupons on your store, make sure you monitor coupons that fail to trigger a discount. Get those to be emailed to you immediately so you can spot common misspellings, typos, active coupons, and often you can create the coupons of these typos so you can let them get the orders. So that's a key one because, you know, let's say you've gone and done a brochure or something like that and you've got a coupon or you're doing, you know, something and you may have misspelled the coupon or it's not working. You want to know about that straight away. So you want it to email you any invalid coupons that come through.
Don't use coupons that have zeros or twos. Yeah. That.
Yeah.
Obviously, zero could be a naught.
Yeah, because they're just sales that have gone through.
I mean,
And
well, we went one step where we actually we realized we're getting so for one particular customer, we realized we're getting so many failed coupons that we just automatically applied a coupon in the basket.
Yeah.
That was the default offer because it's a massive barrier. If you put a coupon in that you think's right, it doesn't work, you're not going to buy.
Yeah, and in that case, they were just going onto Google and looking for a coupon code anyway.
Yeah, so we just applied one. We said, yes, tick, successful. Your coupon has been successfully applied.
Yeah.
Honestly, basket's checkout stat went up massively.
Yeah. And the weird thing about that site is it's almost impossible to buy without using a coupon. You can see a coupon all over the place. And it's like you have to almost, I mean, it's a big discount as well. You have to almost kind of like work hard not to put a coupon. And yet every month, some people buy without a full price. It's like, how do you even manage to do that? And why would you do that? But anyway, people do.
Mm.
11. Make live chat prominent on the basket page so that buyer questions can be answered quickly. So there's an interesting one, someone from the paid mastermind group last week, and she'd been reluctant to put live chat on the site because she thought she was going to be inundated with live chat. And she put live chat on and she got a huge amount more orders because she uncovered the anxiety that people were struggling with. And in her case, she makes handmade goods. And basically what it was people were worried about when it was going to arrive, whether it was going to get there in time because it was obviously handmade, bespoke, some of the items. It was like, well, I'm buying this as a gift. Is this going to get through in time? And therefore, she would never have known that if she hadn't put live chat on. And now once you've understood that, you don't have to have live chat on all the time. But losing live chat is a great way to uncover the anxiety
also,
on the site.
You know what questions people are asking, what they're worried about. So you then put that in your copy on the product page and in your call to actions and things on the basket.
Yeah.
Because however many people have asked the question, you know, bloody 80% of people haven't bothered and just disappeared to find it somewhere else.
So if you are being inundated on live chat, it means that your site is not doing the job it should do, because
it's amazing. Live chat's brilliant. You know, to not have live chat and to think, oh, I'm going to be inundated, actually is ludicrous, because it's telling you, people are actually telling you where to improve your site.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they'll ask questions either about what they're anxious about.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, credibility. Mainly it's anxiety, isn't it, actually?
Yeah,
because you can't really add desirability through live chat.
It's so imagine, I mean, if you had an estate agent and you basically said, I'm not going to have sales agents because we'll just get inundated by people wanting to look at houses. We'll just sit at the desk, and when people want to buy a house, they can come up and buy a house.
And we'll only let so many customers in at once. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to be inundated with people wanting to look around houses. That would be annoying. But basically, you know, you've got to, if you're going to be inundated, it means that your website is not telling the people the information they want to in the right places.
I think the key thing is, exactly, you have to use it as a feedback loop. You've got to act upon it. You can't just have your live chat agents answering the same questions over and over and over again. You have to have a mechanism in your business where you're automatically using that you're using it as copy to improve the site all the time. You know, and that's really, really important. You've got to have that mechanism in your business. You've got to categorize, right, which are the, like, what live chats have come in? Right, can we categorize? Are these talking about delivery? Are they talking about returns policy? Are they talking about will it fit? How much do I need? You know, whatever it is, categorize it, and then
and don't
make
do
sure
it emotionally. Don't do it emotionally. Go like, you know, I'm just going to do live chat and do it for a couple of weeks and then go, well, what do I feel like I've been answering questions about? That's a waste of time because you've got no, your short-term memory is
you put it in
the
a
live chat, you know, the spreadsheet, and you go, this person is asking about this, and have you categorized? And then you look at it and you go, oh, actually, 80% of the stuff is about our delivery times. So I'm not making
that. And it's a bit like, when we do that within our, within the mastermind group, we do that for the reviews, you know, we do it. So we categorize the reviews and we look at the your own reviews and also your competitors' reviews. And we categorize it into basic headlines, don't we? And then you start to understand what people hate about the competitors and hate about you and what people love.
Yeah. And that for example, we did it for
anxiety and the desirability there. And you just push those. It's really,
yeah, we did it for Stuart Semple the other day, and we did it, and it came out that it was about the thickness and coverage of paint, you know, and you wouldn't have got that. You wouldn't have got that if you just guessed from the site.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so number 12.
How many numbers are there?
It was 14. It was 14, right, okay. So you're quite close to the end.
It's, you're getting late now.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. All right.
2 o'clock.
Number 12 and 13 are quite similar. So 12 is use countdown timers to show how long it is till they qualify for next day delivery. So if you've got next day delivery, then you want to count down time, you know, to say order the next hour and you'll get next day delivery or something. And that's going to help to make them them move forward. Also, number 13, use countdown times to how long it is till the coupon they've used expires. So if people have entered a coupon and it's like only going to be valid for the next, you know, 24 hours or something like that, then you can have a coupon countdown expires to say that you know, you've got this much time before that expires. And then the last one, 14, use third-party review stars and reviews to give people confidence that they can deliver the product on time. So, you know, a lot of the time we have products and review stars on the product page, then we just lose them on the basket page, which is silly because obviously the same anxiety exists on the basket page that they had on the product page. It doesn't magically go away. So you want to bring that in so that they kind of have that confidence that we can do what we say we're going to do. Because on the basket, it is, you know, it's like, can you get this to me on time? Is this going to be, what happens if I return it? What happens if it's difficult? Will this fit me? You know, and if you have like a load of reviews on that, just kind of talking about other people who've bought that and had a really good experience, then it's going to move them forward, isn't it? And that's just, it's just a no-brainer. Yeah. So those are our basket page checklist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Those are the things we go through.
The list is in the book.
Yeah.
Or just email us.
And
email Mark.
To be honest,
he likes responding.
No, I'm not going to email them to people. They can.
But it's like live chat, Mark. You've got to have, you know, it's important.
I'll be inundated.
Inundated. Or inundated.
I'll be both. I'll just be swept off my feet. I have got live chat now on the podcast page.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wow.
With a wizard. Yeah. We're very advanced.
You.
No, it's me.
What's the website? Where's the URL?
Well, it's ecommercestories.podbean.com.
Ecommercestories.podbean.
Yeah, at the moment,
ridiculous,
it's me.
URL.
What?
That's a bit of a lot. Okay, ecommercestories.podbean.com. Oh yeah, there's my face. Chat with us.
I can't believe you don't even know where our own podcast is.
You keep changing it. Once it's Hammersley Brothers E-commerce, and that.
No. It's
e-commerce.
Always been the same. It's always been the same all the time since we started, yeah. And as interesting this is to the listeners, I think we'll finish
okay.
There.
Yeah.
So, yes, thank you very much. We'll speak to you all next week and have a great week. And if you do have any questions, please come and use our live chat on our podcast website. And I will get back to you when I wake up. Yes, I've just got your live chat request.
Okay.
Yeah,
hi, Mark.
Good. All right. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye. Bye guys.